The Morning Show on East Coast FM with Declan Meehan.
Yes, that number again, 083-3399-103. We've been listening and reporting on the goings-on in England over the last while with the unrest on the streets in various parts of England. One report a couple of nights ago came in from Croydon, which is about 20 minutes by train south of London, and a lot of disturbances there, and fire, dramatic pictures on our TV. A resident there who has connections with Ireland joins us now, Avril Head in Croydon. Good morning, Avril.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are things there today?
Well, they're very quiet. I haven't actually been out on the street yet, but last night I was. I took my ex-foster daughter and her two little children back home through the worst parts of Croydon, and I was really quite shocked at how it all looked, because not only were their buildings burnt down, burnt to the ground, there were shops completely boarded up where they'd had everything stolen from their shops.
And was it the shopping areas that had been targeted?
Yeah, small shopping areas. There was a shop near us that sold electrical equipment, you know, televisions and radios, that sort of thing. That had been robbed. The cycling shop apparently had over 1,000 bikes stolen. All the windows smashed, so they're all boarded up.
1,000 bikes stolen?
It's shocking. It really is shocking. And that's as near as half a mile away from us. So it's just awful, awful.
Yeah, and what about damage as well? What about those fires
and things? The buildings, I mean, the shop, the furniture shop that you've seen on the pictures, either on television or on the newspapers, is a store that's owned by a family. It's been there for a long, long time, and part of that was burnt down to the ground, and many shops, small shops alongside it, had gone. And it's just shocking, because these are people who are employing the young people around Croydon, and I don't understand the mentality of it. They've got these interviews with young people giving all sorts of reasons about why they did it or why it's right to do it, without any thought about danger to lives. People's homes have gone, their businesses have gone, and the likes of you and I will be arrested. They've got away with it.
And has anything ever like this happened before?
No, there's sometimes trouble in Croydon. I remember a few years ago there was a sort of football rampage through the centre of town, and that did a little bit of damage, but nothing on the scale of this. And my foster daughter was terrified of her safety for her children, as are some of my neighbours. They're terrified to go out.
Yeah, and it is it's a good distance from what we would regard as central London.
Yeah, and I think the thing is, it's caused in areas where there's residential, large groups of residential people who've caused like the gang problem, and then it's led into the fact that because there was so much police activity, that there were no police around the outside, the outskirts of the more sort of gentler parts of towns, not only Croydon, but the other towns like Enfield. There was no police around. And you've got people calling the police and nobody's coming, because they're all trying to sort something out. We have a huge shopping complex west of Croydon, and big stores like John Lewis, and they've all been ransacked.
And is it known from where these basically kids came from?
Are they around the area? I think the start of it was probably gangs of young people, but once they started entering the shops, from what we can see and what we can tell, people were driving in from outside to steal the goods. I mean, it was real sort of mob violence and wanton damage. It's incredible. Absolutely incredible.
Well, people must be asking themselves not only why, but where did they go afterwards? Did they go to their homes? What did their parents say?
Look on eBay or somewhere to see where they're selling this stuff, because that's what they're trying to do, make money out of it. Because they can't have wanted all this stuff. They've just stolen it to for their own gain. It's not stuff that they needed or wanted.
And do people feel, in places like Croydon, and particularly in Croydon, because you can speak for there, that it's just a copycat of what happened in Tottenham? So,
well, I should think so. I mean, I think everybody feels that everybody's playing softly around it, which is not... not as right. I think people want them to take a much harder line, and there's been calls for the water cannon and bullets and stuff to try and stop this, right, nipping it right in the bud at the beginning, not letting it go for 4 days before somebody sort of says, oh, let's do something about it. It's gone too far.
And do you think that would stop it, or do you think that would make people more angry and come out somewhere else? Because the police seem to be flat-footed, and it takes them a long time to order in a water cannon or get the authority to fire plastic batting rounds or whatever. And these people just seem to be able to organise, go down the road, go to another area, and there's no police.
No problem. Yeah, because the police are all, as I said before, centred somewhere else. So they had, and the fires, they had no water. They didn't have enough water for all the fires that were going to put any of the fires out. And the police couldn't help the firemen because they thought everybody was going to get hurt. I mean, it's a terrible situation because far too much was happening at the same time. And I think I heard the Prime Minister say yesterday, and it's something my husband and I have said for so long, is that there's no discipline or boundaries for young children, and they've just grown up thinking that the world owes them something and they're going to get something back. So I think it'll be a long time, if ever, we can get people thinking on much more sort of boundaried lines and thinking that I'm going to live with a society and we all live together happily.
They must have felt like this before, though, you know?
Oh, well, I think the thing is, it's sort of a brewing situation. It's certainly been brewing because people are angry about what's happening in the world in general. But I think the young people who don't have jobs or anything to do probably let it fly around in their heads a lot more, and they build up and make things out of nothing and don't see the sense of, well, actually, if you help yourself, everybody will help you. But they don't see it that way. I heard a young girl saying, nobody respects me, but you can't get respect unless you give other people respect, and burning down their businesses is not... It's not giving them respect, is it?
We've got a movement over here which is called Reclaim the Streets, and what it is really for people to go out and basically object to the current economic situation and the people who put us here. Yeah. In Britain, I see there's a Reclaim the Streets, but it's community-based to reclaim the streets from the thugs, basically.
Right.
Just reading about it, that a lot of people going out and they've got their black plastic bags and their, brushes.
Yeah.
And things, and they're cleaning up. Is that community effort happening in Croydon?
I've never seen it happen before, and I don't know from my own experience here whether that's happening now and there's people clearing up. But when I drove by yesterday at the building, the furniture building that was seen, it was still, there was a lot of police presence and media attention, and it was all boarded off because it's dangerous. So I don't think at this stage the public can help because the roads are all closed off. Nobody can go down them. But it's frightening to think that people have lost their homes, and what are these people doing now?
Yeah.
Where are they going? Where are they living?
I think that we've nearly reached the end of it.
Yeah, well, I hope so. It will will be good if it's over and people can start getting themselves back together again. But the damage has been caused, and it will take a long, long time for people to feel that it's safe enough to go out and you know, get on with their normal lives, normal everyday lives. Very, very sad.
Avril, you mentioned about fostering yourself there, visits, and children being frightened. How are you involved in all that?
Well, we have been, my husband and I have been fostering for 30 odd years, so we've seen quite a change in not only the children that come into care, but the way they're parented. And we've often said that, you know, there's a huge breakdown in family life. You know, these children come in, they don't know how to behave, they've no idea about diet, eating. Just getting up in the morning and going to school is quite alien to them, and it is very, very worrying. The last few years, we've only been having children with disabilities because we're getting quite elderly ourselves, so we can't keep up the energy of the difficulty and complex nature of some of the children that are coming in now. But we do feel that it's a lot to do with how young people are managed and what kind of lives they're leading. That it's very, very sad.
Yeah, and it's making your job more difficult. And
oh, it does.
Presumably not very happy in themselves.
No, and to be honest, when we've had children in care, it's very difficult. Sorry, my daughter's just gone off back to New Zealand. She's been home for. She came to give me a peck on the cheek.
Oh gosh, we don't want to delay that. Oh god.
No, it's okay. She's just going out to wait for a second. We said our goodbyes before, but she just came in and gave me a peck. So if you heard a funny noise, So it's been very difficult to sort of see the changes in the way people have parented their children and you know, to live with it. But when we get the children in and we give them these firm boundaries and give them a different type of life, it's very quick how it changes. And I just feel, you know, it's quite sad that all this is often boiled down to the child's got ADHD or a problem like that. And actually underneath, it's all they want is to be told how to behave, and then they can enjoy their lives. And having a meal and going out somewhere and enjoying every day-to-day life is far better than causing mayhem, being rude, aggressive, violent. And they suddenly get the hang of that. So it is out there. It can be given. But while we're letting our children run riot and think, you know, we've been places where, you think, is anybody looking after that child? They're just climbing the walls and nobody seems to notice. So, I think that's how it's led to this, that nobody knows how to behave.
You're very good to give us your time this morning. I hope you can chase after your daughter there now.
No, she's gone. She's out the door. Okay. She's on the road.
But you're very good to talk to us and continue to best wishes with that great work you do. But thanks for telling us the atmosphere there in Croydon.
Okay, well, I hope it's all soon over and we can get back to normality.
Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
Bye-bye to you. Bye-bye. Thank you. And that is Avril Head there in Croydon in South London.